Greetings to listeners all around the world. Welcome to Safe Dividend Investing's podcast number 159 on March 14th of 2024. My name is Ian Duncan MacDonald. In today's podcast, I will be answering interesting investment questions about the importance of book values and operating margins in selecting strong, high-dividend stocks. In podcast number 154, I announced a contest to select 20 stocks using $200,000 in play money that will generate the most capital gain and most dividend income over 12 months. Seek out the transcript to podcast number 154 for more details. While this contest was created as a learning exercise for those who are hesitant about investing in the stock market, it is open to anyone who wants to test their investment skills. To make it a bit more interesting, the winner will receive $100 as an incentive at the end of 12 months. Request a printed copy of podcast number 154 and the Excel entry file if you are interested in participating. The objective of my books, my website, and my podcasts are to show all those seeking financial independence how to become informed, confident, successful, self-directed investors. Question number one. Is a stock's book value an important investment consideration? Is a common stock an asset or a liability? It is neither. It is an equity. What is corporate equity? Equity is the amount that remains after you subtract from all the assets in a company all its liabilities. The higher the resulting number is, on the positive side of this mathematical calculation, the healthier the company is. The greater the positive equity, the stronger the company. If the company's liabilities are higher than the assets in this mathematical calculation, then the corporation is seen to be unhealthy and weak. Theoretically, such a negative amount could be interpreted to mean that the creditors now own this company. They are owed more money than what the company is theoretically worth. It is unable to create enough revenue to offset the bleeding of asset value. The liabilities the company creditors are owed could be bank loans, accounts receivable owed to suppliers, and wages to employees, etc. The company's assets that are supposed to exceed their debts could include real estate, vehicles, machinery, accounts receivable, cash, and investments. When the situation becomes so dire that a company is unable to pay their obligations when they come due, then they are technically bankrupt. Banks can then legally seize the assets that are securing their loans. Trade suppliers, unable to get paid for what they have shipped to the company, can now approach the courts seeking to petition the company into bankruptcy. A court-appointed trustee could then meet with creditors and they could agree on how to sell off the company's assets to help cover what they are all owed. Sometimes the creditors get lucky. The company's book value may have been valued by the accountants at a much lower amount than its market value. This is unlikely because long before the company reached insolvency, the company should have been doing all they could to sell assets to lower expenses and pump more cash into the company to cover its debts. If their customers had been slow in paying them, the company should have created more aggressive account receivable practices. such as using collection agencies to quickly recover cash and minimize bad debts. If revenues had been declining, the number of employees should have been reduced to match the lower revenues. Property they owned should have been sold. If it were critical to their operation, perhaps it could have been leased back. Slow-moving, out-of-date inventories could have been sold to discounters for whatever the company could realize. Offices should have been reduced and consolidated. These are all moves that experienced, skilled executives of the company should have been making to allow the company to survive. Unfortunately, once the company officially goes bankrupt, it is highly unusual, after the orderly dispersal of the company's remaining assets at bargain basement prices, for any equity to be left. The secured and unsecured creditors will not recover all they are owed. They will only receive cents on the dollar. In the hierarchy of who gets to share in money realized from the sale of a bankrupt company, a company's shareholders are at the bottom of the distribution list. They are unlikely to recover anything of what they had invested in the company's common shares. In working with hundreds of bankrupt companies, I can only remember one time when shareholders received a payout from a bankrupt estate. This is why it is important, before you purchase the shares of any company, that you look at its book value. You want to see a positive, healthy number. A negative number indicates that the company's creditors have the potential to destroy the value of your investment in the shares of that company. You want to see a book value close to or higher than the company's share price. That is a sign of positive financial health. Speculators intent on buying the next hot AI stock or lithium mining company stock will probably ignore negative book values. That is, if they are even aware of the importance of the book value figure. They will blow off a negative message by saying that these companies, like most new companies, have yet to start generating revenue. And of course, they can have negative book value. They see speculating as buying a cheap stock at a bargain price that they are sure will someday be worth much, much more. Often, a stock buying frenzy by such speculators based on such pie-in-the-sky rationalizations drives share prices up. They are convinced that speculating is the only way that they can become rich in the stock market. They ignore those who report that 95% of speculators lose money investing in financially weak shares. No one forces them to buy these weak stocks. They are pawns of media hype and stock promoters who would not invest in these shares themselves. Thus, if you own a high-flying tech stock trading at $200 whose book value is only $4, you should be concerned and take the time to thoroughly investigate the risk you're buying into. Whereas, if you own a stock trading at $3.90, whose book value is $4, this should give you great confidence in the stock's health and potential for capital gain. The management of such strong companies are carefully controlling revenue and expenses. Speculators who buy that $200 high-flying stock today that they could have bought for $4 20 years ago will greatly suffer if the company's debts can no longer be paid. Going suddenly from interest rates of 1% in 2020 to interest rates of 7% in 2024 is going to trigger an increase in corporate bankruptcies and losses for speculators who are speculating on weak companies. They never believe that interest rates could climb that fast. Inflation can cause prices for companies to increase faster than they raise their own prices to keep revenue and expenses in balance. When you invest in a corporation, you are really investing in the experience and skills of the company's chief financial officer to protect the company from losing control of their book value. Companies are controlled by people, not by random chance. It is important to look over 20 years of historical records to see the adaptability of the companies whose shares are giving you partial ownership in them. Question number 2. Is a stock's operating margin an important investment consideration? A strong book value requires that a company achieve profitability. A stock's operating margin percent measures how much of a profit a company makes on every dollar of sales after the costs of production are subtracted from the total sales figure. The costs being deducted from sales would include the wages and raw materials used in producing the product or service being sold. The calculation is made before the company pays any interest or taxes. To calculate the operating margin, you divide the operating income or earnings by its sales or revenue and show the result as a percent. The operating margin is a good indicator of how efficiently a company is generating profits. It shows what percentage of revenues are available to cover the costs of operating the business. The higher the operating margin, the less chance there will be that the stock you own in a public corporation will run into financial difficulties that are beyond its control. Often, financial difficulties translate into lower share prices and reductions or even discontinuances of dividend payments. To protect a dividend income that you may be living on for the rest of your life, it is important that you select companies with high operating margins. Speculators can run share prices up and down on a whim, which means technically your stock investment is losing and gaining value, but does not mean the company is losing value. The reality is that until the stock is sold, you have neither gained or lost anything. Many companies with a high operating margin often increase their dividend payouts even when speculators have driven down the company's share price. Looking at historical records of a company's dividend payouts and their steadily improving operating margins can give you great confidence that the management of the company is making constant improvement in expense control, pricing, and marketing. These are the kind of stocks you may never see a need to sell. You plan on never needing to sell them, even if their share prices are fluctuating up and down. Different industries have their own peculiar operating margin percents. Thus, operating margin comparisons can be very useful when trying to decide which company in the same line of business would be best to add to your portfolio. However, even if the company you are considering are not in the same industry, it is still important that a company have a high operating margin. This increases the probability that the share price and their dividend payouts will increase. Some stocks do have negative operating margins. They are not profitable. Such stocks are unlikely to be paying dividends. If they were, you would probably find that they were borrowing the dividend money they were paying shareholders. This could potentially be dangerous and have a significant negative impact upon the company's book value. Such companies may be surviving by borrowing against what they see as their glorious potential. For example, it can take as long as 15 years before a mine can start producing. Tech stocks can spend years developing software before it is marketed. These are speculative investments which investors like me avoid. An unexpected negative occurrence can destroy such marginal companies. There are also industries who are so competitive in pricing that their operating margins are very thin. Such companies can have massive sales volumes and quite high share prices. Even a minor negative incident can wipe out billions of dollars in a shareholder value. For example, a few years ago, the famous footballer Ronaldo was promoting a healthy diet. In an interview, he moved a Coca-Cola bottle off the table and substituted a bottle of water. He then picked up the bottle and said one word, water. Coca-Cola's share price immediately dropped by 1.6% to $55.22. The market value of Coca-Cola's shares went from $242 billion to $238 billion, a $4 million drop that no speculator could ever have anticipated. Interestingly, on March 8th, Coca-Cola Consolidated was trading at $825 with a book value of $153.15, or about 20% of its share price, and an operating margin of 8.45%, or about 1% of its share value. Paying a dividend yield of only 0.24%, or $2 a share, Coke is immediately ruled out as a perspective for my high dividend portfolio. By comparison, for $60.23, I can receive double that dividend payout, or $4.08, which is 5.02% dividend yield. This company has a book value of $46.43, which is about 66% of its share price, and an operating margin more than three times greater than Coke at 27.23%. The company I am comparing Coke to was TD Bank, the second safest bank in North America. I do not own TD shares because the bank shares I own provide an even better return. In building a financially strong, high dividend portfolio, you can choose to not invest in companies like Coke. Yet, Coke will often be in mutual funds to attract investors. They are a high-profile company and a market leader. However, with minimal research, it is not difficult to find stronger stocks that will safely put more money in your pocket with less risk. In calculating a company's operating margin, you divide operating income, earnings, by sales, revenues, and expressed as a percentage. For example, if a company had a revenue of $2 million and had expended $1,200,000 to earn that $2 million, its operating margin would be the difference between the two figures. This would be $800,000, which is expressed as an operating margin percent of 40%. You do not have to do this calculation. There are many free online databases where the operating margin calculation is always supplied for every stock in a stock exchange. Operating margins do change. They can be improved with better management controls, by lowering costs with their suppliers, more efficient use of resources, improved pricing, and more effective marketing. look for improvements by looking at operating margins over many years. Thanks for listening. If you wish more information on investing and stock scoring, please visit my website, www.saferbetterdividendinvesting.com.